Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. And please do follow with us, either with your own Bible or with a pew Bible, as we read the Word of God. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." We're coming today to begin a series on the family, the home. How does a family begin? Well, it begins with a husband and wife. It has to. That's where it starts. And so we're going to think today, for a short time, as we come to the end of the service, about the husband and wife relationship. Now, I will only be scratching the surface today. So please don't think that we're going to say everything that needs to be said about marriage today, but we'll touch on some aspects of the marriage relationship. We have looked at it on the Thursday night. Those of you who were there a few weeks ago, we touched on husbands and wives, and we mentioned children as well. But that was just one night on the family. We want to give more time than that to the family and the home. So over the weeks to come, we'll look at this important subject. I don't know whether it'll be just the four Sundays or in June that we, or in May that we look at it. Maybe it'll go into next month as well. But however long it takes, we're going to look at the family. You see, the family is under attack. And the very first institution that Satan attacked was the family. In the Garden of Eden, now don't think of the Garden of Eden as like your back garden or the front garden that you mowed the lawn this week in the good weather. That's not what the Garden of Eden was. It was a vast area. It's almost like a state or a country. But there in the Garden of Eden, God placed Adam and Eve in a perfect environment, and Satan came, the serpent came, and he launched all his artillery against the first family. He aimed all his ammunition, We were speaking to the children today about the gun and shooting. Well, back in Genesis chapter 3, the old serpent began to shoot at the family and has been shooting at the family ever since. He was shooting at the family on Tuesday in Stormont. Because you see, evil men want to bring in what's known as gay marriage, although, as I've preached before, gay marriage is a myth. It's like calling a circle a square. You can't have it. It just doesn't exist. Because marriage is one man and one woman in a lifelong commitment. But there are those who want to introduce other kinds of families, quote, unquote. But there's only one kind of family. It's called the nuclear family. The man, the woman, husband and wife, and then the children come along. That is a family in God's eyes. That is the only kind of family there is. But the family today, the nuclear family, the traditional family, is under attack, and it has never been more under attack than today. Because the devil knows that the family is the building block of a stable society. And boy, he wants to make society unstable. And he knows if he can shoot at the family and destroy the family, then he's halfway to victory. So we want to look at the family and speak about the family because, as one old preacher put it, a fence at the top of the cliff is better than an ambulance at the bottom. You remember that? Think about it. Isn't it better to put a fence at the top of the cliff so that people don't fall over than to let them fall over and then to send the ambulance to the bottom to pick up the pieces? Well, the reason I'm preaching on the family is because I want you husbands, you wives, you children to remember that the home is under attack, and I want you to be prepared for the attack. To be forewarned is to be forearmed, isn't that right? You see, I want to have stable family units in this church. As a minister, the last thing I want to have to do is to go to homes to try to pick up the pieces. But may the Lord give us, as the hymn writers put it, oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord, please, to help us. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the institution of the home. Thank you, Lord, that you made the home there in the Garden of Eden. Lord, the home, the family, is not man's idea, it's your idea. And we thank you, Lord, for the guidelines and the loving instructions that you've given us in your word. We have already been singing, Lord, those words, ask the Savior to help you. And that's what we would do just now. O blessed Savior, help us by thy Spirit, as for a short time today we come to think about the marriage relationship. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. If you're a child of God, you're washed in the blood, you will want to see revival. The question is, where does revival begin? Some people think that revival starts in the nation as a whole, or revival starts in the church. As we meet here on a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening, or on a Thursday evening, that's where revival starts. Well, no, that's not right. I believe revival starts in the home. And if we want to have a revival, and I tell you one thing, we need a revival, not only in our own denomination as we celebrate the 40th anniversary, but the Church of Jesus Christ as a whole across the land needs a revival. You know where it needs to start? In the homes. You see, churches are made up of homes. Churches are made up of families. And the church is only as good as the families and the homes in it. And I have a family and you have a family. And the question we need to ask ourselves today is, how are things going in the family? How are things in our family units today? What about the family altar? Do we take time to read the Word of God and to pray each day, to gather the children together, to pray together, to have that family altar? Now, if you don't have a family altar, I don't want to put you on a guilt trip today. But I just want to tell you to do what Elijah did in 1 Kings chapter 18. It says, Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord. You go home, you read it. He repaired the altar of the Lord. Maybe in some of our homes, we need to repair the altar. Need to spend time with the children. I'm not saying you have to preach at them for half an hour or an hour. That's not what we're saying. But at least every day at some point that you take the Word of God, you read it, you pray. Maybe you say, well, there's no children at home. Well, do you read and pray together as husband and wife? How important it is to repair the family altar. So let's think today about the family, the place where revival starts. We've already said Satan launched his first attack on the family circle when he attacked Adam and Eve and their family in the Garden of Eden. And he's been after the family ever since, trying to destroy the family ever since. But we're coming today to think about the relationship between a husband and a wife. And let me just say right away, there are no perfect couples. There are no perfect marriage relationships. You may have heard people say, oh, in our relationship, we've never had a crossword. You might have heard, I remember going to service on one occasion, hearing a testimony, and he said, I think he was speaking actually about his father and mother. He said, my father and mother, they were married for so many years, and they never fell out with each other once. They never raised their voice once at each other. Well, all I can say is you've got to take it with a pinch of salt when you hear that. Because there are no perfect married couples. You know why? Because they're both sinners. Every husband, every wife is just a sinner. Now, they might be saved by grace. But they're still sinners. They're still fallen creatures. And how can two fallen creatures live together day in, day out in the same house and never, ever have a difficult moment? For anyone to preach that's the way it should always be, that that's the way it will always be for a Christian couple, that's just being unrealistic. And it's setting a standard that no one can reach and that God doesn't expect us to reach in this life. Because the psalmist said, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Some preachers forget that. Some preachers forget that we're dust. But God doesn't. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. But you see, he gives us the Holy Spirit to come alongside us to help us. And he gives us the Word of God to guide us and instruct us in the marital relationship. Well, let's come first of all to think about the wives. Paul begins here in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And then some preachers say, now you wives, that's what you've got to do and you better do it, and that's the end of the story. And they forget all about the context. Whenever the Lord says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, he's saying it in the context of verse 21. And we dare not leave out the context. What does verse 21 say? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, wives are not only to submit to the husbands, But husbands are also to submit to the wives. If verse 21 is actually referring to all our relationships in the church as well, in the church family, submit to one another. What I believe it means, or at least one meaning, is that you don't fall out with people. That you don't say, my way or no way. There has to be give and take, as we say. There has to be that give and take in the marriage relationship, but in the church as well. Is it not the reason, is it not the cause of many fallouts and divisions in churches? Because believers aren't submitting to one another. One believer rises up and he has to have his way. His way is right and everybody else is wrong. Another believer, they rear up and they want their way. And there's contention and division. The Bible says submit. In the church, we're submit to one another, but in the marriage relationship, we are also to submit to one another. And when the Lord says that the wives are to submit to the husbands, the wives are not to lord it over their husbands, they're not to take the place of their husbands in the home, so also let the husbands remember that they are not to lord it over the wives. They are not to be cantankerous in the home and to demand their way and disregard the thoughts and feelings of the wives. The husbands are to show grace as well. The husbands are to submit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So the reason we have made that point is we don't want any of the wives going home today thinking that the husbands have the right to lord it over the wives and to treat their wives like a doormat. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. Now, I want you to notice here what verse 22 goes on to say. Notice the last part of verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Listen to it as unto the Lord. Wives, that's why you should submit to your husband, because you're really doing it to Jesus. You're to submit to your husband just as if you're submitting to Christ, the precious Savior, the lovely Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. By the way, it's very interesting when you read through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how often you find the ladies ministering to Christ. You never read of a woman falling out with the Savior. You never read of a woman who abused the Savior and criticized the Savior. No, the women folk are constantly coming and ministering to Christ and giving to him. People like Mary Magdalene, out of whom the Lord cast seven devils, seven demons. And other people, Susanna, Joanna, the list goes on. The Marys, Salome. Why did they minister to Christ? Because they loved him. It was love that motivated them. And you see, Paul is saying here, wives, sisters in the church, submit to your husbands out of love for Christ. Because you love Christ. Just, if I can put it like this, I believe Paul is saying, just pretend that husband of yours is Jesus. Then you'll be able to submit to him. Yeah, he might be difficult. He mightn't be a believer. He might be a backslider. There might be times when it's so discouraging. But do it as unto the Lord. And God will bless you for it. God will reward you for it. Oh, we have the great example of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. We'll not read them now, but you can read them later. The Lord Jesus there, he submitted to the Father's will. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became obedient. It says, he took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why is it that wives should submit to their husbands? Why is it that in the church of Christ today, as believers, we should submit to one another? It's because of the Savior's example. We have often said before, the Lord never tells us to do anything without showing us how it's done and giving us the model, giving us the perfect example to follow. And the Lord says today, submit. Not just because I say so, but because I have already done it. The greatest example of submission was when Christ allowed wicked men to nail him to the cross. He submitted to death so that we might be saved. Don't think that the Lord Jesus was taken by wicked men and he had no power over them and that he was forced and dragged kicking and screaming to the cross. Poor Jesus, how sad that he couldn't do anything about it. He could do everything about it. He could have stopped the whole charade. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't. He submitted because he knew that only by submitting to the death of the cross would you and I be saved. Well, we could say so much more and give so much more encouragement to the wives today, but we need to move on to the husbands as we finish. And as I've already said, we're just, as it were, looking at the tip of the iceberg today. The husbands, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, your example is Christ. Christ loved the church. He still loves it. There are people today and they don't go to church, even people who profess to be saved. They say, oh, I don't need the church. I don't need to meet in the church. I just worship God at home. It's very sad. They don't love the church. Well, Christ loved the church. And Christ gave himself for the church. The love we're speaking about here is a sacrificial love. Husbands are to love their wives with a spirit of sacrifice. Now, notice please, I know I've emphasized this before, but I'm going to do it again. It bears repeating. It's a command. The Lord says, husbands, love your wives. In other words, love is a verb. Remember that. Husbands, to love your wife is something you do. It's not something you feel. Because there's some husbands who say, oh, well, I just don't love my wife. I just don't have that feeling of love for her anymore. You know, I feel like saying, if ever a husband says that to me, I feel like saying to them, repent, repent. God doesn't tell you to love your wife because you feel like it. God says, love your wife regardless. It's not a feeling. It's not all about emotion. You know, love is not a gushy feeling in here. Love is a verb. Love is an action. Now, whenever you love your wife and you sacrifice for her and you treat her the way you should treat her and you care for her the way you should care for her, the emotions will follow. The good feelings will come. But don't put the cart before the horse. The feelings, the emotions come after the doing, not before it. The Lord Jesus loved the church. Was the church perfect and beautiful and spotless in the eyes of Christ? Surely some people say, surely the church must have been beautiful and holy and pure if the Son of God loved the church? Not at all. You know what the church is made up of? Sinners. Lost, condemned, hell-deserving sinners, but the Lord Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and by his blood he has made those who were sinners, he has made them white as snow. Are you part of the church today? You're part of this church family, and I'm glad you are. We're delighted to see you each Sunday. But tell me, are you part of the church of Christ? Is your name written there on the pages bright and fair? The Lord Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for us, for it. So much we could speak about here in reference to the husbands. We could talk about the actions, the life of the husband day by day in the home. What about the speech? What about the way we husbands speak to our wives? Tell me, do you speak to your wife better than you speak to other people, or worse? How's your tone of voice when you speak to your wife? What tone of voice do you use when you speak to your wife? So often, I believe, in many, many marriage relationships, to our shame, the husbands speak to their wives in a cutting and a callous way. And we wouldn't dare speak to our wives. We wouldn't dare speak to other people the way we speak to our wives. Let me turn and flip the coin over. I believe, sad to say, yes, there are times when wives speak to their husbands in a way that they would not dare speak to outsiders. Our speech. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace. You know what we as husbands and wives need to do? We need to go home and say, Lord, will you touch my lips with a live coal from off the altar? So that I'll speak to my husband, to my wife, the way I ought to speak to them. Some people think, oh, the preacher needs the touch of the live coal upon his lips. Yes, he does. But I tell you, we need the touch of the live coal upon our lips as husbands and wives so that we'll talk to each other the way we ought to. The Lord Jesus loved the church and he gave himself for it, and that's the way the husband is to love the wife. Samson was a man who had many flaws. But you know, there's a very interesting story about Samson. And by the way, if you read the life of Samson, you read time and time again, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Even old, weak Samson. You've heard me say before, the Lord can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. He does it with this preacher. And he did it with Samson. And there's the story told of Samson. Samson wanted a wife. That's good. The Bible says a wife's a good thing. The book of Proverbs. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Samson wanted a wife. His parents didn't want him to marry this particular wife, this particular woman. But Samson, he longed to have this wife. And the Bible tells us he left the home. He went to take this Gentile wife. But a lion met him in the way. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he tore the lion. He destroyed the lion. It was all out of love for the wife. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross, he met the lion, the roaring lion. And he tore him to pieces. And he endured the agonies and the sufferings of the cross because he wanted a wife, a bride, a spotless, sinless bride. Samson was prepared to fight the lion in order to have a bride because he loved her so much. The Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to face the old adversary, the devil, the lion at Calvary, that old devouring lion, in order that he might have a bride. What love. What love. But tell me, husbands, is that the love that you have for your wife? Perhaps to finish today, maybe you say as a husband or a wife, yes, this is all fine and good, it's all well and good, but I don't have the power to do it. I don't have the power to submit to my husband. I don't have the power to love my wife. Well, I want to tell you how you can do it. Because in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, here's how we can do it. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. By the way, in the original, it is not a one-off experience. In the original, it is an experience that happens time and time again. In fact, you could say it should be a daily experience for the Christian. A daily infilling of the Holy Spirit into the life of a Christian. And it's through the Spirit of God that we can submit to our husbands and love our wives. And as the Spirit of God fills us day by day, He gives us a desire, a hunger for the Word of God. He gives us a love for the Son of God. And He gives us the love for our wife and the ability to submit to our husband. Oh, how we need to be filled with the Spirit. It's just like the oil in machinery. You think about it. The marriage relationship needs the oil of the Spirit. I had to take the car there recently to get oil. There was an oil leak. And had to get some oil put into the car. And what would a car be without the oil? It wouldn't go. It wouldn't work. You see, machinery needs the oil. You know, friends, the marriage relationship needs the oil of the Spirit. And the Lord says to us today, that's how you can be the husbands and the wives that I want you to be, through the oil of the Spirit.